Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we want you to make sure you're focused on what you are trying to do in the Love Cafe. We like the acronyms, and we'll come back and talk about the acronym. But if you want to be a part of the show, you can call at 347-857-4192. Press 1. I'll make sure I get you on the line by identifying with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and ask you to give your location. You're getting tongue-tied here. And then you offer your expertise. We'll be talking about love tonight. Love is what love does. And I want you to think about that before we get started. Love is what love does. Just keep that in mind. So we want you to be a part of it. Now, you can go to the web link if you just want to listen to the show, www.blogtalkradio.com/WBSW Internet Talk Radio. We're so proud to have an opportunity to have our own radio station where we can focus on the many topics and have the various talk shows that we want to have. This is just one of them. We're so glad to have the opportunity. The Love Cafe. If you want to tweet the show, you have an opportunity to tweet us at the Smith Way Production, at Lorenza D. Smith 15, at WBSW underscore internet underscore talk underscore radio at coach Dr. Lorenza D. Smith 15. We're also being broadcast air on Facebook, Twitter, as well as YouTube and Instagram. So we're so excited. I'm looking at a sort of like a network challenge right here, and we're so glad that we have to work through, but we have 5 technology devices working now. See, that's what we're talking about. God bless us to move forward. We have excelled and growing in his words, in his power, and believing what the vision he gave. Gave his vision to be in 2017. He said, go out and develop a vessel that people can. So we came up with first started off with just a sports talk show. We moved from a sports talk show to looking at some show focusing on social issues, economic issues, just plain old life issues. We tried to make it, we looked at the relationship and love. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We have joining one of our co-hosts, and I'm going to introduce him in a minute, and I do appreciate him taking time because we're going to have an awesome night. It is going to be the guys tonight, and we're going to make this thing do what it do, and that's what it's all about. Now, as we talk about the Love Cafe, we have to realize when we say the Love Cafe, there are acronyms in the Love Cafe. That's love, L-O-V-E. And the cafe is like nobody else, knowing that you're going to a restaurant and you're going to sit down and have a four-course meal. This is the real talk show that soothes that appetite, that love appetite. We have on the menu, when you step up and go there and right now have a seat, you have to go in there with your mask on, but you take it off while you're eating, and you order an appetizer or a starter. This is the first thing that pops up when your love situation, and it automatically comes into the mind, oh, this is an appetizer, so what I want as a starter? You know, that's lust. It looks good. It smells good. The question, is it good? The next phase of the menu is the entree. Oh, you look for that steak, you're looking for some potatoes, you're looking for some french fries, you're looking for some chicken, fish, some lamb, ham, whatever you want to do, some collard greens. That's your entree, and that's your attraction. Boy, you be lusting. Let me get this. I'm going to go into this with just like with both feet, hand, and all that first. So I can get. Then we get to the point, we finish up with our entree, we move to the dessert. Oh, the sweet part of it. The sweet part. So what we like to do is we'll call that the attachment. So you truly, truly have worked through lust, attraction, and attachment. Now, I'm thirsty. I need to have some type of beverage. I call it a libation. Whatever libation you want to have, you can take an opportunity to drink and order whatever. It's your awakening. It'll awaken you about what's going on in your life. In your love life. That's what our focus is. It is awesome to come before you. We have people that volunteer that wants to be a part of this. Now I want to give a shout out to those individuals that join us from time to time. Actually, we have our co-hosts on here tonight as well as the two co-hosts that let me know in advance they will be here. They're serving our community. We have out of the great state of California, Oakland, California. And this young lady had challenges, but she was able to own her own truth. What's going on with her? She became the CEO, you can call her the founder, the president, along with her twin sister, none other than Tina Robinson. Next, we have another young lady. She's an author. She's a life coach. She's the owner of a professional basketball team. Semi-professional, is still professional. None other than Sarita Duncan. And it's never last but not least. This young man, I call him Doc because I have been able to speak it into the atmosphere. This young man comes hard, he comes right. He's a relationship coach, a relationship strategist who take time to work with couples, individuals, whoever it might be. I say that I am totally supporting what he's doing, and we want him to continue doing that out of that great state of Texas in the Fort Worth, Dallas area. None other than Pastor Dr. To be Eddie Pratt. Brother Pratt, how you doing?
I'm doing great, brother. It's good to be on the show with you again, and just thankful to be able to be here. You know, we're going through several challenges down here in Texas with the weather, and so I'm just thankful to be able to be here with you guys.
And we're thankful to have you, and we're praying because it's been a challenge here. But I know we 2020, we know what it was. We made it through 2020, but you know 2021 has its challenges because some of the things coming from 20 is moving into 21. So what we do is keep on praying and uplifting each other. Don't be afraid to say, look, God, Texas and slow weather down. Bring them what they need because this is a cold front that's coming through, and it's coming through and causing havoc, taking out power, taking away heat and everything from everybody. And we want to pray that God would put his hands on it, put his hands on all of the areas that's being affected by this weather, this cold front that's coming through. And ask him this to relieve in every one of them. Continue to put your hands on them and guide them. And we want to do that right now because that's what God is all about. Send it out there. Don't be afraid to ask for it. To just stop by this place or even come by this place. We're asking them to come by that area in Louisiana because I know there's an individual that roses in Louisiana that's dealing with as well. It's a challenge. But Brother Pratt, we're going to try to make this show as awesome as we can make it because it's all about sharing what expertise we have and allow callers to be a part of it. So we ask you to dial in at 347-857-4192. Press 1. Identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. Then ask you to offer your location. You know that I didn't say your name, but your location and your expertise. We are working with five, and God is so good. Brother Pratt, it's so good to be able to work with five technology devices here. We have our Blog Talk Radio, which is our board for our internet talk radio station. We have it up running. We have a Facebook where we're able to create a room and go to the room. Have another Facebook where we're able just to have everybody to be live, where we're live, where they can be a part of it. Then we're also working with Instagram. Oh, God, it's so good. I'm telling you. Then on top of it, he said, we're going to let you do a little Periscope tonight. So we're Twitter. So truly blessed to be able to get the word out. We got several ways to get it out. And we're going to address everybody that we need to address. As we have always said, we're international. We serve individuals in 18 countries. See, God is good. He's so good. The way he brought you off, you never know where you're going to be going. So let's be blessed and have an awesome time tonight, Brother Pratt. We're going to talk about love is what love does. I just want everybody, people begin to join us on Facebook and all these other networks and all these other social media. I want to make sure those individuals on Blog Talk Radio or on the radio station is aware of what's going on with Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/DRLDalbertoSmith, or you can check us out on Twitter, which is the Smith Way Production, and also on Instagram. We have a couple sites that we deal with, and that's Coach Dr. Lorna D. Smith 15. Or we go to the Smith Way Production. So we have several ways to communicate and share our thoughts. So, Brother Pratt, we're going to get started tonight looking at love is what love does. Some people don't understand. We always have to talk about this. We have to talk about the acronym that's related to this show. The acronym of love. Love, which is in the L, is listening. You can't be in any loving relationship and not able to listen. You can't be always talking. You have to listen. The O is overcoming all the challenges, overlooking individual faults. You have to make sure you're willing to do that, to overlook, overcome the challenges. The V is how valuable do you think that relationship, but how valuable do you feel that you are, and what are your values? If you're in a relationship, we said it previously, your values have to be mutual. Because when you come together through that triple core, you spouse, that spouse, a significant other, a life partner, we have to say that, you're wrapped with our Lord and Savior to become one. The triple core. Just remember that. That's what it's all about. So in a relationship, and you have somebody that don't want to worship our Lord and Savior with you, you have a challenge. Love is what love does. Just keep that in mind. As we talk about love, we have to understand what real love is. We got too many people not aware what real love is. First of all, you can know what real love is if you start with self. Self-love. It's internal. Love is internal. It's your heart and your soul. And then on top of that, it becomes state of mind. What's love to you? How do you deal with love? Are you able to listen to your partner? Are you able to overcome or overlook their faults? Are you able to value what they're saying? Do you treat them equal? Are you like, you're the king and they're your servant? That won't work. And he is encouraged, empowered. See, love is all about empowering two people that come together. That's what love is. But we're going to move forward. And Doc, we're going to kind of look at some topics to kind of get this thing started up tonight. We want to look at first, what is the meaning of love is love? I want everybody to think about it. What is the meaning of love is love? What is your definition? How do you see that? Love is love. Doc, you want to jump in right here?
You know, I was looking at the format and everything and love what you talk about as far as love is what you do.
Bingo.
I believe that it is beyond the emotional feeling. It can be sparked by the emotional feeling, and I believe that it is the initiation of or the initial emotion that happens. But really, love is what you do. It is what you do after the initial spark of the emotion has started. Love,
yes,
is what continues and is the process of what you continue to do after the emotional spark has started it.
Yes,
so that meaning that it is dealing more so from a place of commitment. It outlives anger. It outlives disappointment. It outlives every feeling that may have started it. In fact, what love does is increase. It should increase the emotional attachment because of the commitment of action.
Yes, yes. My. Brother, I tell you, you just hit it on the commitment of action. Let's kind of take that and dissect that. I just want to use some examples that I have incurred in my life. I think about the simple things or the little things that we forget about. Love is all about the little things, not the big things. It's not buying the fancy cars. It's not walking around with a wad of money in your pocket and trying to flash. Not flashing how much money you have. The simple things like holding that person you love, hand. That gives that person that security, and it also let them know you're committed. You're committed.
Yeah.
Another thing is a friend of mine, my good friend that inspires me. I got some people that call and want to join the show. That's what you hear this phone call is. You know what? I'm not going to deny them an opportunity. I want them to call in here. They're trying to call in and be a part of this, and I'm going to see can we get them on the room and get them in here. So we'll just wait for a minute for them to join us. But when you think about holding hands, and as I was saying about a person that's very, very special, that inspires me, was telling me, say, that I noticed that you're the person as a protector. Simply, if we was walking to the store, getting out of our car, I believe a man, this is me, a man that know what love is, he will always be the protector and be on the out when you're walking, whether it's in the parking lot, whether it's in front of the storefront, you should walk on the outside. That's commitment to protecting the person that you truly, truly love. That's a sign of commitment. Holding that hand, don't be afraid to hold that person's hand. Too many times, we got people that are afraid for people to see them out in the street, but you say you love them. You say you love them. You say you're committed to them. You say you're going to do all these things, but you're not willing to do that. I think is what's your actions of commitment best explain what love is. It explains
yes,
what
sir.
Love is. You have to be committed. You have to be dedicated. You know, compassion. The spirit of making sure that partner, that mate, your spouse, is taken care of. Not always, not just saying financially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. You got to realize physically, these are important. The commitment of action is so important. And too many times we forget about that. We can't see that in us. See, when I look in the mirror, I smile because I enjoy what I see. And I hope you do as well. We will be a part of it, 347-857-492. Press 1. We'll get you on the line so you can share your thoughts in regards to what love is and what love does. That's what it's all about. What love is and what love does. Brother Pratt, we're going to move to the next topic right quick, and we'll kind of look at love requires you to be responsible. That's a powerful word right there. That's a powerful word, and people don't even realize love requires you to be responsible.
Yeah.
The one hashtag we have in this show is responsible.
Yeah.
It came into existence with this show through COVID-19. Be responsible not only to yourself, but to your family members, to your patriarch. Being responsible is entail what Brother Pratt just said, a commitment of action. That's responsible. Too many people don't understand. See, the problem we have in today's society and why we have a large number of people not being able to stay together is I don't understand the responsibility. We got to talk about finance now. Not only finance. We're talking about all the other aspects that you need to live a life of joy, peace, and happiness. Responsibility is being able to be, I would say, you can be counted on. You can count on me. Whatever I say I'm going to do, I'm going to do it. If I say I'm going to love you, I'm going to love you hard. I'm going to love you very hard.
Yeah.
And that's what the responsibility. Now, my responsibility is to make sure I do that. Make sure all the caveat that come along with saying that I'm going to love you come and I do that. I don't need to say that and don't do it. Brother Pratt, jump
that's
in.
Right.
Jump
yeah,
in right
so
there.
Again, when you talk about responsible, love is about responsibility. I think that that's a great way to start into it is because we have to, when we break down responsibility, we have to look at responsibility in the area of first a responsibility of knowing and loving yourself, but at the same time, loving and knowing your mate, your partner, your wife, and serving them as well. The responsibility of serving them is very important. It's because when there is a breakdown, when there's a breakdown in serving and the focus is only on serving yourself, then that is going to be, that is not a commitment to action for, that is not the, that is not a, it is not a commitment of action to serve. And so in that serving, it could be a number of all of those things that you mentioned. Without that responsibility, it's very easy for a crack to come into the foundation of the relationship. And a lot of times that responsibility, it can be providing, it could be serving, it could be doing things together, but there is a commitment that goes along with all of those things, and we have to look at it as a responsibility. And that's why I said it's based more on a commitment of action versus a commitment of feelings. Because your feelings, you know, your feelings will go up and down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But I believe that even when your feelings get hurt, the commitment to action says I'm responsible for having a conversation or working through these problems or working through this conflict. I have a responsibility in this relationship to mend it, to be able to move forward. Now, if you're not married, then you have a responsibility to do what's healthy for the both of you. But I think that that's still in marriage as well. You want to do what is healthy for both people, but especially in a marriage, you have to commit to the action of working out problems. And that is a responsibility of a marriage, as an example. That's a responsibility.
Exactly, exactly. And people got to, when you take on that and dress up in the armor and say you want to be in a relationship that you may not be married, but you're acting like Aaron, you're married, you need to take on, better take on the responsibility. Too many people want to take, they want what they say from a young lady, the wifey. And she like the husband too. She won't, but we got to be ready to take on that responsibility. You want her to do everything, cook, clean, provide you with all your pleasures and everything, and you're not willing to do it because you're not willing to make the commitment, or you're not ready to be responsible of having a wife. But
right.
You're going to do all the things.
And see, so there are a lot of people that want the comforts. They want the comfort of marriage, but not the responsibility of marriage.
Come on, brother. You know, I'm amen over here because that's what it is. Sometimes we want the comfort. We want to be able to lay up, but we want to walk away. That's my woman.
Yeah.
But she ain't going to make her be a wife. But you want the wife's benefit. See, too many times, I understand, it's a responsibility. And until our, you know, we have to teach our boys, you know, I'm an advocate and truly a mentor of young men because I've been working around young men and young ladies that are educated all my life. And I think we forget about our boys. If we don't teach them that being responsible as a young age, this won't carry over to being a man. It just don't automatically carry over. Some people don't realize, but they just think just because you're a boy, when you become a man, you know how to be a man. That to be
right.
Taught. See, if you taught that responsibility when you are a teenager or even a boy, adolescents or even younger, that this carry on, your foundation is built through that. So we're our young ladies are expecting these men to be responsible, but instead they can't be responsible because they don't know how to be responsible.
That's right.
And when you don't know, you can't expect me to do it. If we have to focus on training our boys so they won't stray far from the path. We got to train them how to be responsible. The responsibility starts, I don't care how old you are, you train your, and we run into this challenge that we always have a tendency, and this comes from the establishment, I'm going to do a wink, wink. The status saying, well, it's just one parent home, and the woman can't raise no boy boy to be a man, but you know what? A lot of women have taken on that challenge and raised some fine boys to me.
Yeah.
See, the thing about the establishment. Go ahead on, Doc. Jump in, Doc.
I was just gonna say, in the area of responsibility, if we would look at matters of the heart, which is something that we have to learn, I think, as men and women, when it comes to matters of the heart, the best way to learn how to do something, first of all, is admit that you need help learning how to do it, because if you haven't had a great example of it, then you won't know how to do it. So if you're going to become a professional, or you're going to become skilled at anything, you have to learn from someone that has done it.
Yes,
sir. You have to get yourself around someone that can, and I think that that goes back to that area of responsibility. It's like, for instance, you can think and emotionally feel a certain way about the person that you love, but if you don't have any other knowledge of how to be a husband, just like if you've never invested in real estate, you get around someone that has invested in real estate so they can teach you how to be a great investor. If you want to learn about fixing something, you know, whether it's plumbing or something like that, you get with a master plumber so that plumber can teach you different tricks of the trade of how to do what you need to do to be successful. I think that in the area of matters of the heart, we have to do the same thing. Get around someone, get involved with a counselor, get involved with premarital counseling, stay involved with someone that can always mentor you when you get in problems. I think that that is one of the biggest mistakes. People get married and figure, okay, I got the wheel now, I'm never going to need any help with this. And they only go to counseling when there are problems.
Yeah, come on now, sir.
And so there are different things out here there, and I'm looking forward to doing this when COVID is over. I will be getting back into doing relationship conferences and doing it in different cities. Look forward to coming to Alabama and doing it there. You know, and getting relationship conferences where we get together and talk about these things and get into understanding that there is a process of even when you're doing well, it's just like if your car is running good, at a certain point you have to take it, get the oil changed, even though it may not be giving you any problems. It's the maintenance is what I'm talking about. And that is a responsibility in a relationship. To keep the relationship running smooth, you have to do regular maintenance on it. We don't see dating as a response. See, too often people date to get married, and I'm trying to help couples marry to get married to date.
Yeah, hey, all right, come on now.
So if you are in a relationship with someone and after you get married, periodically, it's nice to do marriage tune-ups, you know?
Come on, then, sir.
Different things that strengthen your marriage is because Satan is not going to stop doing his job just because you got married. He is going to try, because the marriage is a living symbol of Jesus' relationship to the church. So so one of the things that he wants to do is dismantle marriage. And so there are going to be crises that will hit. Just like COVID has created so many divorces, so many breakups, because people had to be around each other in a way that they've never been around each other. They've had to struggle together. And maybe they never struggled before, or never struggled at the level that this has created. It's messed with people's money. It's messed with their mental health. It's done so many different things. And so it requires marriage tune-ups from time to time.
Awesome, man. I tell you, we will be a part of this. 347-857-4192. Press 1, and we'll get you on the line. Just let us give you your location and hold your expertise. There's a couple things I want to jump in before we move to the next topic, what Brother Pratt said. Marriage tune-up. See, we talk about date to marry, married to date. Brother Pratt said something so important, and I think this would be an answer or give us some clarity on why our divorce rate is so high. One of the things he said, we'll put all the effort in the world to date to get married. But forget about once we're married, we still have to do tune-ups. We still have to do things to extend that marriage way beyond the day of the ceremony. Some people, right. If I get to the ceremony, and if the ceremony is so draining, meaning financially, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically, what will happen is that when you eventually become married, you don't have the energy or the know-how to carry the marriage on beyond the ceremony.
That's right.
That's the scary part. See, we're talking about how can we get the divorce rate down? You and I are going to get the divorce rate down until we begin, when we get into these our relationship, that we understand there's a responsibility. If you are with that person, the responsibility to that person that I'm committed to you, and I'm dating you because I am committed to you, and we're going to get married, and we know that once we get married, we still got to continue on loving, dating, committed, dedicated to each other. See, the tune-up can come in when you, after you married, you work on those things that you're good at. See, people got to understand, when you get married and you was dating, you had something. And what I mean by that, it was something that both of you all liked about each other enough to say, I do. I do. And once you said, I do, you got to remember, what did I do? Reassess yourself and say, what did I do during the dating process? So when we got married, she was committed, and she felt that she's obligated and committed to what we're trying to do, that she said, I do to you for the rest of your life. You got to remember that now. Then go and assess yourself and say, okay, what I need. Then you get together. See, that's the thing about it. We're trying to work out a marriage problem by ourselves. You know, we're trying to work the problem out individually, but you're married. You're married, but you're trying to work that problem out. Love is what it's love does. You just have to remember that. So you said you love me. Why you mistreat me? You said you love me. You married me, and now you mistreated me.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Pratt gave a good example about when people, divorce rate being up so high, everybody want to blame whatever was happening on COVID-19. Everything blame on COVID-19. But the truth of the matter, you had the problem with COVID-19. COVID-19 allowed you to look at it face to face. That's what we keep forgetting. We was able to look in a marriage that before you weren't spending no time. You were working and working and didn't have time. But when you could no longer go to the job or to the hangout, go where you need to go on Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday night, Monday night, now you got to be there with the person you're committed to. Was uncommunicating before. That's why you was out. So COVID-19 brought everything to me. You can't talk now because you know how to talk. You were smooth talking. Y'all was dating. Man, some folks so smooth when they dating, they call them charismatic. But once they married and got married, they start stumbling around and bumbling around and tripping around. That's where you got to come and assess yourself. Then you got to give your marriage a tune-up. See, some people call a tune-up is something I hear on these shows about when people get mad with each other. They call they breakups, but they call breaks with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened after breaks from each other. And you don't even have to leave the house. You can be right in the house, but you mentally remove yourself from this relationship or this marriage.
Yeah.
Love does what love do. That's it. That's what it's all about. Love is love. See, that's the thing we want to focus on. Love is love. But you have to know what love is. So when we don't take this opportunity to find out truly, truly, when I got married to you, why did I marry you? There's a one of those shows, Tyler Perry, one of those shows, Why Did I Get Married? I watched the other day. You know, it was so amazing. I just wanted to see these individuals who are married couples that had to ask themselves, why did I marry you? I'm married to you, but I don't know why. One couple screaming and hollering all the time, Doc. All the time. One woman screaming and hollering, and all the time he say, I don't know why I go through this. Why do I take this? I take this because I don't know why I married her. Come on now. It's time for a tune-up. It might be me time for an overhaul. You might need to go out and take to drain all the oil, drain all the water, drain all the fluid, and put it in there, put some more fluids in there. And then literally, you have to do that to your own body. So we have to look at our relationship needs the greatest effort after we get married. It's not time to relax. Once you get married, you can't get married. Whew, boy. Let me take a breath now. All that work I had to do to get here, I ain't got married now. No, no. It's time to pull up the boots up tight. Tighten that belt up. Oh, so it's time to go to work because it's a job. A marriage is a full-time job. 365 days, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's a full-time job and some. And that's our problem. And every now and then, we got to tune it up. We got to tune it up. And don't be afraid. As we was talking about mentoring individuals, you know, once they learn how to be responsible, boys learn how to be responsible, they will be heck of a men. Because they now understand what responsibility is. And they're not it unless the individual who has some understanding is willing to get out and work them. One of the things, many of my friends, I always talk about Pastor Pratt is mentoring boys. I don't have any problem with take away with what's going on now with, young ladies and our girls and everything. Girls rock, but I think our boys need to rock too. It's going to take not only us as males, Brother Pratt, but it's going to take females and mothers and grandmothers to be a part of this with these boys. Because if you don't teach them how to be responsible as a boy and eventually as an adolescent and eventually as a young man, he's not going to be able to be responsible once he do decide to get married.
Right.
Foundation's there. Foundation's not there. So we have to be very careful how we do because that's what it's all about. Train our young people. They won't stray far from the path. Because they'll always come back to the training and foundation they have. And we have to do that. So that's what it's all about. We were talking about responsibility of love, but you got to understand love, first of all, before you be responsible. We want to look at what love is not. See, that's one of the things that we run into because people don't know the difference between love and anger, love and disrespect. Love and not being committed. Love is a difference between that. We set your heart and your soul, that internal part that God regenerates, turn lies down. As you said in the dream past, when we go to sleep, He reads it. He works it out. He works His whole body out. So we don't understand that. What love is. See, love is not leaving $100 on the counter. Come on now. and do not and never will have hurt in it. If you have, when you speak by love and hurt is involved with it, you know our co-host Tina always talks about her story. She shares her story with us. She has no problem. I love it because she's letting you know her own truth and coming deep to let you know, I went through this. I understand this. It made me a better person now. You can't hurt me. You can't disrespect me. You can't physically put your hands on me. You can't financially starve me. You can't spiritually strip me. Come on now, that's something different. Some people strip you spiritually if you let them. Because the devil is at work 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. He's at work. And he'll strip you if you let him. So what you do is not hurt. In one word, I love you. In the other word, you're choking me. You lifting me up. This old thing, these young folks, that he choked you, whatever, choked you silly or something. I said, first of all, you don't need to put your hands on people that love. Jump right in, Doc. Jump right in now.
Well, the thing that you were talking about with the what love is not, I think it is what it is not is, again, a lack of serving the needs of your partner. I think that that's not love. It's not self-gratification. That's the best way to put it.
Yes, sir.
Love is not just getting what you want out of the relationship. It is a mutual, it is not a self-serving entity. It's not a self-serving. Not that you're not supposed to get your needs and your wants met, but I believe that when two people are looking at each other as, I want to serve this person, and it's not based on, well, I'm not going to serve you until you serve me. If both people are in a servant mindset, then the needs get met, the wants get met as much as possible. And everybody, no one is capable of being perfect, but I do believe that if two people are in a serving mindset, then the possibility of a healthy relationship has the ability to be healthy. And that is, when it's self-serving, it's not even giving it an opportunity for it to be healthy. Because if it's self-serving, if two people are self-serving, then they're only looking out for themselves.
Come on now.
And a relationship is not, love is not just looking out for yourself. It's sacrifice. It's sacrificing. So that's one huge thing that I think love is not self-serving.
You know, Pastor Pratt, you said something. I was reading something recently, and I made a note of it, and it said love is the intention to let that thing be for its own sake.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Said, it's not self-gratification. If you're in a relationship or someone tell you that they love you and you tell them that's a gift, you give them that gift. See, love, I love you is a gift of life. You just don't know the smile you put on somebody's face when you tell them I love you.
Mm-hmm.
When you are genuine. That's what love is. They can put not in your words, but they can feel it in your spirit. They know your spirit from soul. Some people say if you're the kind of person when God has just taken on your body and have you understanding that what love is, it radiates from your body. And people recognize that. That's what love is. And you can tell. You can tell when those individuals truly, truly committed to love, and they understand.
Yeah.
You can tell. I don't care how sweet he talk or she talk. I don't care how good they look. One thing we got to remember about it, if it ain't coming from inside, coming out. Oh, it's nothing but a mask.
That's right.
It's not a mask. If you have a relationship with a person, a mask on because they're doing everything based on what they heard you say, it's not going to last long. Like we say, when he showed himself, believe what you see.
Yes. Yeah.
And run as fast as you can. Love is not jealousy. This is something we have to understand. Even in our families, we have individuals in our families jealous of other family members. But you say you love me because we got the same blood in form of DNA that's rolling through our body. And instead, you truly, truly hate me. And you don't have no problem saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it ain't actually your words, it's your action that I base this on. And you should base it on. Not being jealous. Love is not being selfishness. If you selfish, that ain't no love. That's scary. That's very scary. That means you cannot trust this individual enough to say or believe exactly what they're saying. Because they're saying something just to make you smile. Be careful, come bearing gifts. When we're talking about love, I tell y'all, be careful for people come bearing gifts. Because it's something behind those gifts. I'm not saying everybody's that way. Because you see through most people. And Dr. Tate, we'll recognize people that come in to take advantage of it. Some people
right.
do have that. That's why we have a relationship coach, an outstanding relationship coach and strategist on this show.
And you know, this is why I say, and so the... So if somebody is say bringing gifts or doing, I mean, when you naturally meet somebody and you want to have a relationship with them, you're doing things that are going to develop a relationship.
Mm-hmm,
the developing part is one part of it, but we can't lose sight of the sustaining of the relationship. And that is, are you consistently doing what you started?
Yes, sir.
Are you consistently doing the things that serves that other person? And that's what I'm talking about. It is a false sense of something. And there are reasons. There can be reasons for that as well. Now, somebody can start off all hot and heavy and then realize, okay, this is not what I thought it was going to be, and then they may back up. But you don't. I don't think you keep reeling the person in for self-gratification when you know that this is not healthy for them, because, again, we have to think about what's healthy for you and what's healthy for them. And if it's one-sided, that's a recipe for destruction right there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we have to keep that in mind. That is definitely what you're heading to. And no happiness is going to come out of that. And what you have to realize, sometimes it's too late for some people to realize. But eventually they do realize. And they have to take a lot of steps back to get back. Sometimes, like I said, run as fast as you can, because you know that that's not love. Because I wouldn't myself like that. See, what everybody I ask you to do is that when someone comes to you bearing those gifts, or even the gift of telling you I love you, and they do things to you, ask yourself, will I do that to myself?
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself, will I do this to myself? I love myself a whole heck of a lot. But will I do that? You have to ask yourself. That tells you
right.
what love is not. Because you wouldn't do it yourself. Then you darn sure will to somebody else. If somebody come, like Dr. Pratt said, they're hot and they're heavy, they're giving all this, they're throwing this, and you know, just like we was talking about in one of the previous relationships about that 90-day rule, they're going to be as good as they want to be to the 91. When 91, they looking to do something here.
Right.
That's hot and heavy in there, but when 91 comes and you say, oh, it's not time yet, oh, you're going to see the real self. That real person going to show up there.
And so, you know, when I was talking about the whole thing of commitment to action, the whole commitment to action means along with a commitment to action, there has to be consistency in action.
Come on.
You know,
if
you know, if the commitment is short-lived, then it's not going to sustain the relationship if it's short-lived. But if it's got consistency in time, that's why, going back to something that you mentioned before, you don't give yourself so quickly. You don't move out of the foundational development of the relationship too quick, and that being having sex too soon, all of those different things that will, you know, bring about, you know, we acting like husband and wife, but we don't even know each other that well, you know. And so I think that when I hear couples that move really quickly, move in together really quickly, or get married really quickly, and then when they begin to have problems afterwards in the beginning, it's an emotional rush that happens, which is normal for people, but that will not sustain if you don't have anything else. And that's what I mean by the commitment of action and the consistency of those actions. Because can you still be committed and consistent when conflict comes in the relationship? So if conflict will separate you, and that depends on what the conflict is. But I mean, if it's not something that is a deal breaker, it's just that we've hit a bump in the road. Have we hit a bump in the road, or is every argument a thing of, well, because we argue, or because we had an argument, we're gonna quit? Now, if the argument is that the argument or the disagreement is a deal breaker, that's something different.
Yes.
But if the argument or the disagreement is something that can be worked out through either those two people sitting down and what you said at the top of the hour, there has to be some listening going on. I hear couples all of the time, they will sit and they will spend one person, maybe the dominant one, always yelling and screaming and cussing, or either that one person is the only one talking and won't let the other one get a word in edgewise, or both of them won't. They're both just waiting to they're both trying to get their point across, and nobody's listening. And even taking into a fact that, okay, let me listen to this other person's point of view. I may not agree with it, but everyone is entitled to what they feel, and they may not come to an agreement about what they feel, but everyone is entitled to what they're feeling, what their truth is, what they believe is their side of it. But I'm saying that when two people are listening, it has a better chance of resolving the conflict.
Come on, man.
I don't think you can resolve the conflict if there's both people are shouting and yelling at each other, or one person won't talk. If one person won't talk, and they're being, you know, they just figure, well, you know what, I'm not gonna say anything because I don't wanna argue. That doesn't solve it either.
Nope.
Because that's harnessing something inside of you that you know that you need to get out. So I think that the whole talking and listening is very, very, very important. But sometimes when we're angry and we are in a place of disappointment, that is, I think, going back to the key word that you mentioned earlier, the responsibility in a relationship
Yes.
Is to listen to our grievances, our disagreements, and resolve the issues through communication. And that communication is a process of listening and talking with the goal to resolve the problem, not the goal to, well, I'm going to put you in your place, or I'm going to tell you how I feel, or the other person, well, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm just going to be quiet, you know. And, you know, it just, and like I said, I've counseled it. I've been on both sides of those coins, you know.
And yes.
There were some things I had to check about myself, you know. I had my opinion. I wasn't going to back down from my opinion. And when that happened, that didn't bring, that brought division,
yep.
You know. And so there were some things that I had to change about me to be able to be in a healthy relationship. And so there's some stuff. And I tend to believe that if there's constant disagreement, there is something that you have to work on with yourself versus always pointing your finger at what everybody else did. The common denominator in all of those failed relationships is you. You know? And so if you've had a string of those, I think there's some self-assessment that you have to do. And sometimes you have to do it with yourself, and sometimes it's good to, like I said, when I've taken people through personal assessments, we get to a place where they can see themselves. I had to do that with myself. I had to do that with a counselor when I was in a place of being lost. And I think that you can, and I think we're always evolving. That's the other thing. We're always evolving. So if there's a process that you go through, you may be, let's just say you were in one season of life in your 30s.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a different season of life, and you're going to think differently when you get in your 40s.
Yeah.
And then what you thought to be the way of life in your 40s, that's going to start your evolution. Some things are going to be adjusted again in your 50s. And
yeah.
So if we don't see that we are constantly evolving, and there are going to be some foundational things that will never change because these are foundational principles. But what I am saying is that in a relationship, not only are you evolving individually, you're evolving collectively. And in that evolution, when problems come up or disagreements come up, if the resolve is not talking, or the resolve is nobody talking, or the resolve is one person is doing all of the talking, or both people are doing all of the arguing and yelling and screaming, all four of those examples, the problem doesn't get resolved. And I think that when you have tried, when you've done all four of those things, somebody has to be, both people have to be willing to put somebody in the middle of those two people that is neutral to that relationship, that who they are rooting for is the relationship. Their goal is to bring about resolution in the disagreement, and they're not taking either person's side. They're taking the side of the relationship, and that is bringing an agreement, bringing them to a place of resolution. But those other four things that I just mentioned, they won't bring resolution, you know, at all. And so that's what I mean by the responsibility. It comes to a point where if you've been constantly at each other or the relationship goes south for whatever reason it goes south, if you can't resolve it between the two of you, get someone that is neutral, a mediator, someone that can resolve that issue so that there can be life after that disagreement. And that's what I mean by the commitment of action. That's what love is. It's a commitment of action, you know. Did I lose you, Doc?
you.